evening, and one of the big things Clement and Ray are going to fill us all in on is a temporary and a long-term solution to the Highway W problem that everyone's been quite interested in. So with that, I'll open it up to any other supervisors. Any comments?
I do have, and I think, Ray, you and I have talked about this in the past. One of the constituents down in Camp Lake, John Vandenberg, has contacted the DNR. Michelle, I forget her last name, but he asked me to talk to her because we were talking about the flooding, the culvert undergoing under 277th, not the one on Highway C, but the one that actually goes from the county property where the water moves to, and then it's almost completely submerged, apparently. I don't know. I'm not an expert. But anyway, so I talked to this Michelle today. She said they put this Teresa Sabelski. Anybody?
I don't.
Yeah, okay. So she's supposed to contact me about, I don't know what I can do on this stuff. I mean, it's a DNR thing from whatever I know, but I'm certainly going to start pushing her your way. So I just want to know what it is that he's talking to him about and all that.
So I actually saw a note about this afternoon that Andy from P&D has been in contact, or Mark, from one of the two from P&D, and I know they approached him as far as a buyout, because he is in his entire property is in the floodplain.
He says it's not. It's just a portion of his garage. I know there's a new map being drawn and all that, so I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know what the new map might say, but I know I'm fairly certain the existing map, it maybe not every square foot of his property, but let's say it is substantially in the floodplain.
You got water going that fast through your property. I'm sure it's all in the floodplain.
And so I know that, I believe it was Andy or Mark approached him and said, hey, you know, there is this buyout program, and you would be eligible. Your property is eligible for this. But he said, no, he's not interested in that. So
I just wanted to bring this up that he's now in touch with the DNR. I did not put him on the DNR.
I think it's good, though.
He's looking at all his avenues, and I'm okay. I just want to bring that up I just got that information today. I made a call on it today. And Ms. Teresa is supposed to get a hold of me, and whatever I get with her, I'll share, you know, whatever I can. I don't know what's going on. We can't do anything until they've got that new map done anyway, right? Even if we wanted to clean up that area to allow the water to move through better.
If there was some, let's say, incidental type cleanup that was looked like it might help the situation, we'd do that. Okay. So if that's part of what comes out of this, then that wouldn't be a problem, but yeah. Keep us abreast of whatever you hear, and we'll follow through.
That's all.
Okie doke.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was talking to a constituent over the weekend, and he wanted me to ask about this, and he said I'd look into it. I don't know. But he said the light at K&H, 60th and 88th Avenue, he says it's inordinately long, and I said, okay.
He's talking the actual...
Because the work being done around there, it was set in such a way that the timing of it takes a long time before it turns green, I guess, when you turn.
Do you know which direction he's talking?
Did he say going east? I don't know if he's turning or he's going straight, but he said at the corner of K&H, which is 88th Avenue and 60th Street, that light there. Is that true? I mean, I don't even
we
get
haven't
that
heard
impression.
I don't think we will.
What we can do, we can just go and look at the signal timing and look at the various cycles to make sure everything is fine.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten any other complaints from that, have we, Clement?
No, this is the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. I said I'd ask. I don't head that direction very often, so I haven't really noticed it, but, something.
We can check it out. Clement said we can do a test.
So I'll get
just let me know. I don't know. If it's a perception thing or is actually, in fact, really, really long, I don't know. So, thanks.
I'll let you know tomorrow because I think that's about it. And I usually use some choice words in that decision. Nothing else than that. We'll move right into the agenda. Golf is first.
Mr. Chairman, approval of minutes from the last?
Oh, yep. Sure.
Dan actually pointed it out to me.
did everyone receive them? If they did.
Yes.
Any changes, corrections, or anything?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes from our last meeting. All those in favor, you can govern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our special holiday golf clearance sale at Petrifying Springs has been pretty successful. I mean, we sold like $11,000 worth of gift cards, and we sold $4,000 worth of merchandise. So, you know, it's a good wrap up for our season. We are going to extend that through January 17th. Now that we have the simulator, hopefully things will still be going well there.
Nice article.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, that helped a lot. The day after Christmas, when it was nice out, we had 85 players, and that was a good deal because, you know, we still can't allow carts. I mean, if we had carts that day, I bet you we would have had 300 players. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, we are walking only, so it is, you know, it's still nice to have those that many players. But we're looking forward to the off season. We're booking group events, and we're going down to restock the golf shop, buy all of our merchandise at the PGA Merchandise Show. The maintenance crew is tuning up the equipment, and we're going to freshen up the clubhouses. So looking forward to that. We're doing some market research. We have been, you know, basically all season. And next committee meeting, we will be asking for you to approve our rates. We don't really anticipate any rate changes at this point. So we're working on getting ready for our two golf shows. We have one in Chicago, the 28th of February through March 1st, and one in Milwaukee, the 13th through the 15th of March. And great opportunities to, you know, get feedback from our guests and you know, promote both courses. So really like taking advantage of that opportunity. Last year, we gave away a free round of golf to every person that registered in our database. And, you know, so we gave away about, I think there was 800, was that right? About 800, but I think only about 80 or so, about 10% actually took advantage. And it was a weekday green fee, and we're hoping that they bring another player or rent carts and buy food and beverage and merchandise and that kind of thing. So it really is not something that hurts us, but hopefully promotes the golf courses more often. And as we said, the indoor simulator, the equipment is up and working. It's just starting after that article, really, to get some momentum, get people to come in and enjoy using it. You know, it's exciting that we're starting to give lessons and fit clubs. It really helped in that merchandise sales, getting people to you know, try the product in there and show the different distances that they're hitting different clubs and against their club, and really gives us some credibility when we're trying to sell that merchandise. So the only thing that we're currently working on now is we're working on our capital improvements, ordering our equipment for both the golf carts and for the maintenance areas. We're working on refreshing the clubhouses, and we're ordering all of our supplies and merchandise for next season. So we're looking forward to the 2020 season and hoping that we get a drought. Yeah, it's unbelievable. The third and fourth wettest seasons in 19 and 18, and even last year we were a tenth of an inch away from the second wettest year ever. So it's just, you know, to have back-to-back seasons like that. So hopefully it can only go up from here.
Any questions for Dan? All right. Facilities, Mike.
2 projects to report on. The KCC chiller replacement project, that project is on schedule and moving along as expected. It's a long project. It's going to wind up on the 1st of April, so that one's going well. Second project is the planning and development remodel. That's pretty much down to punch list items and then some furniture installs. I expect to report next committee that's completed. That's it for that one. The only other one left is on the focus on energy project list, and there are no changes again. It's kind of slow on that one. That's really all I have.
Thank you. questions on any of that? Stay in facilities, right?
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anderson Arts Center preservation project, the HVAC startup is complete. Commissioning and punch list is in progress for that. HVAC training is going to be forthcoming. Landscaping will need to be completed in the spring. We touched on that last year because of the weather this fall. And we're hoping to wrap things up here by the end of January. If no questions, we'll go on to the ceremonial courtroom restoration scoping project. Again, the architect will compile the report on the scope and estimated cost of the restoration. Kenosha County and the architect are exploring sources of public and private grant funding. No other questions, we'll go on to joint services evidence area renovation. We're assisting joint services with the design of the evidence area renovation project. Construction bid documents were released on October 31st. We received the construction bids back on November 21st, and they appear to be within budget. The last bid that we're going to be getting in is the cooler freezer. That's going to be coming in tomorrow. So again, we're looking at project construction for beginning of 2020. Touching on 2020 projects, we're slotting the DA renovation project, which was approved in the budget for one of the first projects for next year. That's it.
So I'm going to, I have to comment, because so that golf at facilities were relatively quiet in December, I'm going to say relatively quiet. That's not the case with highways and parks. So I don't think we're getting out here at 7 is my point. So we're off to a good start, but
you got to stretch before you whip those ones.
If anybody was thinking that these days. Thank you.
I was actually going to cover the next item, the Highway W. Clement and I worked pretty closely on this because of the gravity of the situation. So the road was initially closed like the last week in October of last year. And we worked with our engineering. We worked with R.A. Smith on this project because they've been the engineering firm we've worked with on the previous projects on the Fox River. So they have a lot of knowledge, and they've done other studies on it for us. And the initial solutions that they were coming up with were they were saying that there wasn't going to be any, you know, good temporary solution, and we kind of pushed back on them. And bottom line is I think we really ended up in a really good spot. Because what they finally came up with is a permanent solution. It's limited to the section that is the most damaged and the most vulnerable right now, but that's really what it's going to fix, is that area. And it's a permanent solution. It's I'm going to say it's nearly identical in construction concept as what was done further south, closer to Highway F. So it's done with a 50-plus year life expectancy is really what we're looking at. And it'll be it's only though about
90
feet long. So that's basically what the resolution is identifying, is that this would be the solution for that. It's something that could be started on now. Actually, in the winter, as long as things don't get really out of hand weather-wise, this is an ideal time for them to do this kind of project. And I think one of the things that surprised Clement, I know, because the project that we finished up last year was just over $500,000, I think, to do that. And so we figured this, given kind of the nature of what's involved, we were estimating this was going to be somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million initially. And the numbers came back, and we had them double and triple check things because our engineering guys have gone and talked to a number of construction firms. Given kind of the lull in the action, but the number of contractors that are mobilized in the area right now, these numbers came in really good. So what they're telling us is the $300,000 is really at the upper end of what this should cost. We're going to bid it, but we're going to do a short bid because there's at least three contractors, I think, in the area that we're expecting that would bid on it. We should get good bids, and they should be able to mobilize and get to it quickly as long as the weather doesn't take a radical turn from where it's been. And that'll address the issue at hand, so that we'll be able to open the road back up and get traffic flowing again. But there is the 1,200-foot section that they've identified as, hey, this isn't something you got to worry about today, but given as rapid as some of the other deterioration has occurred, you need to get this on your radar now and start to plan for it. And when they originally met out there, there was a guy from the DNR as well, Craig Webster, I think, was out there. And he said, and this is one of the reasons we kind of latched onto him, he said, you know, you should probably look at considering rerouting the river in this area. And if you see on the map that was attached to the resolution, it doesn't show it completely, but there's a fairly large isthmus that we own. I'm going to say 90% of the properties there, because it's in the floodplain. Those are the properties that planning and development has been spearheading, getting over the past really 15 years. And it sounds radical, and it will take time to sort out, but the fact that the DNR guy is the guy that brought it up, we kind of said, okay, let's take the time to really investigate that, along with the more traditional putting in sheet piling like we're doing in this section and we did at the other section. But let's look at this, let's take our time and really look at this to see what really makes the most sense long term. Because if it really was feasible, and there's a decent amount of engineering that needs to be done in order to figure this out, and that thing wasn't, and the river was no longer anywhere near Highway W along at 1,200 feet, that would be way better from a long-term maintenance and cost standpoint, if that is feasible. So basically, the resolution outlines, we'd like to get $300,000 approved so we can do the immediate thing, protect that, and then we wouldn't actually need to study it this year. It's not that kind of imminent thing, but in 21, we would plan on budgeting for doing the study to see what, in fact, are the best options long-term for that whole section of Highway W in the Fox River. That's pretty much what's laid out.
Ray, the road that is north of the 90 sheet pile, the emergency repair, that's awfully close there too. And there was no looking at repairing that. Or are you waiting to see if it's feasible to reroute the river first?
That's south.
That's south. I thought that was north. North, south. Okay.
Hang on.
Southeast.
Yeah, the road kind of goes on an angle there. So you're saying, so
right.
Where the green arrow is?
Yeah, and then
going further this way?
That's all okay, because I noticed the 1,200 sheet pile is going...
it's mainly going
right,
northwest.
Right, but it is awfully close to the road on the other side. Hate to see us do a repair and then have to come back and do another one.
Yeah, it's something that I would think we should also take a look at, because we did some studies back. All these sections that are failing right now were already identified.
Mm-hmm.
So we can still do a second look to see how that section south of this.
But this section right now where we're going to do the emergency repair, maybe this line, I don't know how accurately it's drawn,
mm-hmm.
because what she's saying is the river still looks like it's pretty close here, but I'm assuming that you guys have looked at that, and that is not vulnerable. It's not any of the area that's at risk of collapse right now.
Yeah, and this drawing is just schematic. It's not
a
drawing.
Just want to make sure, yeah.
Plus there's a lot of vegetation.
But I would look further south, too, just to make sure.
It does move away from the road quickly there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of vegetation. I was on there again after we talked and
went check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty evident where it's a danger
the problem.
Right now. It's also pretty evident, and we talked about this for a couple months, really, the redirecting of the river, and there's a whole lot of room and a whole lot of farm field if you go to the south and the east there, that I'm sure that they will be able to engineer that.
It looks like it, glancing at the maps, it looks like it's definitely worth looking at.
Right.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. So when is an expected time frame to get this 90-foot done? Did they say when that would be?
Yes, we expected that if the money becomes available, the funds becomes available,
right.
We are hoping to do the engineering right now till the end of the month. bid it in February and probably construction in March.
So you'd be looking at like the month of March to get all this done?
Mm-hmm.
About a 4-week time frame to?
Yes, if the weather holds up.
Okay. About 4 weeks. That's providing there isn't rain and snow and all the other wonderful, happy things that come along with that. The 1,200 foot section, so the plan, there is no plan, it's just a few suggestions. If they were just some pylon or whatever, pile, whatever.
Yeah, sheet pile. Yep.
Yeah.
Those.
Can it just not do that? Is that just not an alternative to do that? Leave the river where it is and
it is.
Let nature handle its course? And if that's a possibility of doing it, what's the 1,200 foot section? You're saying, well, we don't have to do it today, but there's an old adage, don't drill a well when you're thirsty. So we'd have to look at a plan, obviously, but why can't we look at doing that whole 1,200 feet at one time? Because here we go, we're shut down now, we're going to be shut down through the end of March. Then in a year or two, I mean, it's been 3 years in a row, that road's been shut down. Now we're going to be looking at it again. I mean, these people are disenfranchised already. Then we can, now we look at Highway F. And is that something we can push Highway F off, use that money that the feds got, that we got from that, because it's the same district, I believe, and high here to try to get this all done at one time and then come back and address Highway F later on?
So couple things. So the Highway F piece, that's Round Lake Beach funding, federal
right.
funding. So I know that we couldn't reallocate that money for this kind of a project. That's for, there's specific improvements like the Highway W project where we took the curve, we improved the safety of
right,
that.
Right.
And now this is the same kind of logic that's being used on the F. So I'm fairly certain, though we could verify, that it wouldn't be used for like preservation of existing road to prevent river damage.
Well, let the river damage, will be replacing a road
well,
in the same situation.
That part's true. So we could look at that, but I don't think, from what I know of the projects that we've done and some of the parameters that are involved in the Round Lake Beach money, I don't think this type of project where you're protecting it from further damage, I don't think that's going to apply, but it's definitely worth looking at because those funds are available. That's the first piece. Then the second piece is, yeah, so we could sheet pile. We don't plan on taking, you know, 10 years to engineer this out, but by the same token, to do that 1,200 feet, I don't know if they gave us an estimate for that.
But 2.5 million.
So it was a substantial chunk of change, $2.5 million. And it would be closed for roughly, what would you estimate it would be closed for?
I'll say that would be a full construction season,
yeah.
Yes.
The full year?
A full construction year. So we thought in light of that, we'd want to look at least to see what the other options would be. Because it's a decent, it's a significant
chunk. We're looking at options.
So that's really all it is. So I think if we do budget to do the engineering in 21, we should be able to then, at the end of 21, have a decision on what is the way to go and then budget for that accordingly. Whether it is a conventional sheet pile, we'll have also better information that should tell us how long we've got kind of to live before we need to really get this done. Is this something we'll need to jump on in 22 right away, or is it something that can be put off? Or if rerouting the river really is a viable option, and then the process involved in that with all the jurisdictional folks that would be involved in that kind of a project.
And what is that timeline to look at the rerouting of it?
So that would be, we'd look at all the engineering and all the options in 21. That would be the plan.
In 21. And then will you be inquiring as well if the state DNR would be picking up part of that tab to reroute it?
We always look at that, but he's been to, what's the name of that committee that you?
Yes, a Fox River Commission.
Yeah, there's a Fox River Commission that is, I think, sponsored by the DNR. And when he first came on board, he got pretty excited that, hey, this is going to be something that we can tap into some funds for. And then the air was let out of his balloon fairly quickly. So it's not saying that there wouldn't be something available, but the things that on the surface appear to be the governing bodies that would bring some funding to the table haven't been available.
Dennis, I think I know you were around when the Wilmot Dam was pulled out. Was that through the DNR? Was that through the Army Corps of Engineering? What was
Army
that?
Corps, that was.
That was at, so are we going to have the Army Corps
and
DNR?
The DNR.
Yeah.
And the
both,
state,
yeah.
And the state of Illinois.
Right.
Yep.
So do we have those same hoops we have to jump through, you know, straightening all this out?
Yeah. That would be part of it, absolutely. Yeah, the Army Corps.
If you change the river,
yeah,
you would be going through multiple jurisdictions, but the serious flooding we've had in the last 7 years, most people would be overjoyed, believe me, because we would only have an increase of volume, because I've looked at this a little bit, increase of volume for a short period of time of water, mm-hmm. and after that you would open up much more floodplain where existing flow is. You wouldn't be filling that river in there, you know. So you would have all that opened up for absorption.
Buffer, yeah.
And so that's what we're looking at then, is see where we can go with the buffer right. on that. Because I know even now, well, in the past we've had the flooding after that dam's gone. I mean, it's gone up into the homes, into the church and all that right by C&W. Right. And I couldn't imagine what it would have been like with the dam there. It probably would have broke the dam.
But in recent years, we've had much more serious and higher water levels than when we had the dam.
Yeah.
They never reached this when the dam was there. That's what our climate is, whether you believe any of that or not, but that's what's happened. So.
Yeah, so definitely the Army Corps would be, it's all those agencies would be involved.
I certainly would like to see what can be done with using money that would have been an F to get this going. Because we're delayed on F. I know you have a report on it later, but. I read that we're not where we need to be, where we expected to be at that point, too, and I don't know how that is going further.
Yeah, F's not too
I'd
bad.
Like to
we'll cover up.
Yeah,
F's not
right.
in horrible shape at all.
But, you know, I'd like to, let's look at the options, but, you know, what else is out there? What kind of funding mechanisms are out there for this? I got to believe that they're moving a river. They're not going to want you to do that, but...
The one thing I can say with certainty without looking is I know that we can't repurpose the funding for the F project to some any other project, but there may be, we'll look at the possibility of future projects to see if this would meet that criteria.
So the F project with the Round Lake Beach District, mm-hmm. it has to be maintained at that particular project. It can be used.
Right, it's too far down the path. Okay. It's 90% kind of there. We're waiting for state approval on the plan.
So just trying to move some of that, we can't do that.
Right.
All right.
But one thing that you can be sure of, if you go, and you can go down there, just don't drive it through, you will see.
Take all the fun out of it.
And logically, to an untrained eye, you would say, well, that shouldn't be where the erosion is. If you look at all of this, it seems like it's too far down the bend. You would think it would be further up where that last little house is across from that. But it's not. Water does a strange thing as it makes a turn and it starts to increase its volume. And that point is one of the deepest points in there where the little blue arrow is, where we're having that problem.
Yeah.
And as you go a little bit further north, there's more boulder work, there's a little more trees, and it's not doing the tumultuous.
The cycling.
And it's waiting until it gets to that point. So they've identified that, and that's where the depth is. So that 90 feet is going to give us a couple years, or up to 5 years, to figure it out.
The remaining 1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So the water is compromising the integrity of the embankment?
The embankment, yep,
correct.
That's what it is.
It's eroding it,
mm-hmm.
and so it's cracking and...
basically just flushing it out.
It's undermining it and
flushing it out. Yeah, it's
wow.
it's been because it's such a sustained. The river was at or near flood stage, or I should say above or near flood stage. Boy, I don't know the number of days now, but I remember looking it up. It's this year. It was barely. It was less days at below flood stage than it was above flood stage.
How tall is the embankment?
And
it's about 24 feet.
Enough for a truck to be...
Standing on its nose.
And so the water's seeping through the cracks or just overflowing it or
just going out?
It's basically undercutting. So is it undercuts? The road that's up here, is it undercuts down here?
that shoulder's dropping down like that is what's going on. So they'll need to put sheet piling in so this can't get undercut anymore, so that this can be stabilized, so it won't slough off.
And we did some of that same sheet piling in a different section.
Yep.
Closer to half.
Closer to half. Yeah. It's the same.
And it's only needed in that point right there?
Right now. And that's why we're saying that's the area that's the reason for the closure. And we want to get that taken. We needed to get. That's why the road's closed. So then, getting that fixed will allow us to safely open up the road. But there's others. That other 1,200 feet is going to be on our radar soon enough, and that's why we want to plan for it and come up with what the best options are to do.
I noticed the red line goes all the way up even further, though.
That's the 1,200 feet.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but that here to here is 1,200, or here to here is 90, and this to here is 1,200.
You can't see it on that, but there's a small blue line that goes from the green line to just about where that first little boom goes. What we're seeing is in County Highway W, that's about how far that it goes to the end of that, about where that green line is,
Just to give you perspective, so the shoulder has sunk more than a feet, more than 12 inches already. Mm.
The asphalt is cracking.
And the asphalt is cracking.
Yeah.
Water always wins.
Nature wins, right?
So we have a resolution before us. And this will have to go to finance. Because the funding source for this is targeted to be bonding. And then it'll go to the full county board. What we're hoping for here, the company that did the sheeting for us last year is interested. There's another company that has some steel in the state of Wisconsin. They're interested. The ones that did it for us last year are taking down the Bradley Center, and they finished a project in Burlington, that big bridge thing. We don't want to drag this, we'd like to get it going here and have all the paperwork done in the winter here.
Was there a reason why we chose bonding over our surplus funds?
It's a 50-year lifespan product, and generally the bond council, the economic people that work for the county, something that has a 50-year lifespan, generally bond for instead of general fund.
Even in an emergency type situation like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't bonding me for roads this year was approximately about $8 million. Somewhere in the range.
The bonding for roads?
Yeah, road projects overall.
I'd have to check to be sure, but
let's say it's right around $8 million. I find it hard to believe there's a $300,000 in the existing bonding.
Well, we have the authorization to bond for it, but there's no budget for this project. So in order to do that, we have to put the budget in, do this budget resolution. Otherwise, you can't pay for a non-budgeted project. But yeah, the bonding has already been approved with the general, or with the... what do they call it? The initial resolution that was passed at the time that the budget was approved.
This is what, less roughly, not even 0.5% what we're bonding for, 0.4%, something like that. And we don't have that anywhere in all the, because not everything was laid out specifically in the bonding, they were general. Some generalities that were talked about.
But all the other projects you're talking about, there's a project and there's a budget amount. There's no project and no budget amount in the budget.
Right.
So in order to use the bonding that's available, you have to approve the budget for the project.
Yeah, and this has it both in there. It has the cost as well as the bonding. Funding will come from bonding. It doesn't say we're going out and getting more bonding. It's just saying funding will come from bonding.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
It's like it's allocating the money that
we got. Right. No, I just wanted to make sure I understood the actual.
This is certainly an issue that just is not going away. These poor citizens that live along the WIP forum. So, motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Kowalski, second by Supervisor Dorgan. Any other questions? If not, use the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. December was fairly mild, reasonably dry. It was the third driest month of 2019. The weather was also very favorable for us to do our general routine maintenance, which includes shouldering, brushing, pavement, patching, crack sealing, and trash pickup. Of course, we just discussed about W, so I'll move to the project updates. We opened bids for the Brookside parking lot. We had four bidders, and the apparent low was AWO, and the bid came about $140,000 above budget. So we have a meeting scheduled with the contractor on Thursday. We'll be doing some value engineering with the contractor and working with the finance department to see how we could bring down that cost to within budget. County Trunk Highway S project, the county continues to work with the department. We're still struggling with the department to get the project advertised. We'll be getting some information from the department maybe tomorrow. We're just keeping our fingers crossed and so that the project could be advertised and bid opening should occur sometime in February. By the end of this month, we'll know whether we are going forward with the project or not. Demolition is also ongoing, and construction is still scheduled to start in the spring of 2020. The County Trunk Highway S Phase 2 right-of-way acquisition is substantially complete, though three properties continue to pose significant legal issues. We are working through those issues, and we are cautiously optimistic that we'll get a resolution before the end of the month. Four out of the 16 buildings remain to be demolished. All demolition is targeted to be completed in February of 2020. We also formally applied with, I know last month we mentioned that we've applied for the MLS or the multimodal local supplement program funds. We are still waiting for the announcement of for the projects that were selected for the funding. So we'll know sometime this month. As of now, we are still waiting. We are still targeting construction to start mid or late to 2020. County Trunk Highway F. DOT continues to review all the plans necessary for the authorization to bid the project. Right-of-way acquisition is behind schedule slightly. I take that back. As of this evening, all the right-of-way has been acquired except one property. So there's a slight modification of that. So
he literally just got a spreadsheet about 3 o'clock this afternoon that a lot of the red went to black.
Right, so
there's red stuff on there. So
it's just the one with the mortgage that we're still waiting on?
No, the mortgage one is clear. This is a partial take. Partial take doesn't mean a small strip is taken.
Okay.
So the bid advertisement is scheduled for March 2020, and I'm almost confident that we'll meet that deadline, and the bid opening will be in April 14 of 2020. Construction to start by June of 2020. We resolve issues with two of the property area, the project area property owners, to secure MOUs designed to assist in the addressing remnant real estate issues after the project is completed. Those MOUs, they went out, I think, yesterday.
Friday.
And
got them out. Okay. Finally.
Yeah. I do have a question, I guess a statement. When I did talk to Mr. Graber, he was under the impression the other neighbor that abuts to the pond is interested in that.
So I talked it over with Corporation Council, and since there are two abutting property owners there, we felt there isn't any real solid guidelines for this kind of a situation. So we felt, since Mr. Graber was most senior, we'd give him most senior property owner adjacent, because that other property owner just recently purchased that in 2019. We give him the first right of refusal. If he's not interested, then we go to that other person.
Sure.
So that's what we're going to do.
Terrific. And that's in the MOU then?
Yeah. I kind of give Walt kind of an insight into that, and then based on whatever he does, then we approach, I forget the names, it's two people that actually, husband and wife or whatever, that own the other property now. So I've got all their information, and I'm ready to go if Walt's not interested in it.
Good. Got it all. Fine.
Yep. County Trunk Highway K project. The design team continues to work with Sewer Park and FEMA to relocate the Pike Creek right-of-way acquisition. We've learned, it's been a good learning experience in 2019 about right-of-way acquisition. We've just realized that it's very difficult to predict, so even this date here, don't take them for, it can always change. Don't take them for what it is, but it can always change. Utility relocation has been rescheduled from mid-November to May of 2020. Because of the right-of-way acquisition delays. The city and the county continues to discuss stormwater, utility relocation, and funding options, all of which needs to be resolved to determine the project schedule. So in as much as this project is ongoing, there are so many moving parts, so we'll be updating the committee as the project evolves.
And I wanted to piggyback on something Clement just touched on, is that the whole right-of-way thing. So I was at a meeting with Von Briesen, our let's say, acquisition attorneys in Milwaukee this morning. And the purpose of the meeting really was to kind of put all of the right-of-way activity in context. Because the county really hasn't done the last, let's say, significant acquisition where it required major chunks of acquisition. Really was in like 1980 when we were acquiring all the properties downtown to put up the then new public safety building. And have we done road projects over the year? Absolutely. But they've all been so small that we would acquire little bits and pieces. So the types of projects, the number of and the types that we've got on our plate now over the past couple of years have really opened our eyes to how complex the whole right-of-way thing acquisition process can be. And if you do it right, and you're aware of all the legal pitfalls, which we've become aware of this year, now we're going to put together a process so going forward, any new projects that we start, whether they're small projects or larger projects, we're going to have a very robust template for how to go about that. Because there are things we even learned in just the last couple weeks that were like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, that's actually, the law actually works, because it has no shred of common sense. It doesn't even, there's, understandably, the laws are designed to protect because it's the heavy hand of government coming in to take private property for a public, so they should be geared in that way. But some of the nuances to the laws defy logic, and some of the stuff that we've been, so because of all those things, we're putting together a robust process that we will avoid these things, or at least minimize the chances of any of this stuff happening going forward. Now that it's been a hell of a learning process for Clement and I the last year or so. And when I fired off a note to Von Briesen, I think 2 weeks ago, because I laid out a common sense, logic-based argument to how something should have happened, and they said, yeah, all that makes sense, but this is what the law says. So all of that just taken off the table. And so, yeah. So I just want the committee to be aware of that we've got some of the right-of-way stuff that we've really been challenged with. And some of it's part of just the whole, what's happening in the community, too, and the number of large, you know, it started with the Foxconn thing and a lot of the stuff that, I mean, there's still things going on with that as far as Foxconn proper. And a lot of that bleed over, and the number of attorneys from outside the area that recognized ripe fishing ground, they made inroads down here too, and it created, so there's stuff that probably wouldn't have happened because it just wouldn't have, these little obscure things wouldn't have popped up, but they have because there's so many eyes on all these little details. And so it's been interesting, but I believe there's things we can do and put in place that'll make it much smoother going forward.
For Foxconn and related DOT projects, I-94, all the lanes are open to traffic. That's within Kenosha County, because if you drive further north, some of the road is still under construction. County Trunk Highway KR, from I-94 to County Trunk Highway H, the paving is completed. The two lanes in each direction are open, and just the installation of traffic lights and landscaping are still going on. While they were hoping to open to all six lanes by year end, but I didn't drive there today to check, but as of Friday, it was still just two lanes.
Yeah, that's when we were out there too.
Today is still two lanes?
Yes. Uh-huh.
But it's at least two lanes, one on the 3 eastbound and one on the 3 westbound. So it's okay. It's okay.
Don't have to plow if it snows.
Right, right.
Well, it creates more problem with the barrels. So.
It might, yeah. It might.
So, County Trunk Highway H, I mean, comes to the section on County Trunk Highway K between H and 31. The design team is working diligently and moving along, and they're fine-tuning the design. They're attempting to address some of the citizens' stormwater drainage concerns. Right-of-way acquisition is progressing on schedule, and construction is still targeted for fall of 2020.
Is there anything that could compromise in the future of 70 mile an hour speed limit on 94? Is there anything in the future that could compromise or reduce the 70 mile an hour speed limit on 94? Because you see it in developed areas where you look over the 70 and 55, this is a straight line, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking it's something that we ought to keep in the back of our minds. Because some of it is driven by population density. And that, you know, if we're putting businesses and whatnot along the corridor, it might keep that at bay as opposed to residential developments. But I know it is an undesirable characteristic when you get it on 55.
So I want to make sure I understand, though. Are you saying that you...
Right now we're 70.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Could it get reduced to 55 or 60? What would that look like? What would it take? And that's based, I think, on federal guidelines. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are. I just know that they exist. And, you know, you just get up towards Milwaukee, right? Comes down to 55. I hate to see that happen in our section because it is nice for travel through it.
But the tax base would be very nice, too, and the land there undeveloped. So
yeah. It wouldn't remain undeveloped. It's just things that we should keep in mind.
I think one of the key drivers to that conversation is how many entrances and exits there are. And as you get closer to Milwaukee, they become more dense and the feeder, kind of feeder ramps on and off. Whereas we're still fortunate, there's really, like in the county, there's what, five maybe? So as long as the density of that doesn't change, we're probably still going to be in pretty good shape. As long as we can safely get folks off those limited number off and on, we hopefully will be in pretty good shape. And you can see even like when they did, like on Highway 50, the off-ramp, they've extended these things now, so
yeah,
folks have
design.
Plenty of time to kind of, oh man, I got to get off here. There's no excuse for that last minute, which still happens, but it's pretty rare where that last minute person swings out. And so I think that the design should accommodate so that hopefully we won't get put in that trick bag.
And any chance with the dry weather, you've been able to get out to Mrs. Wilworkis?
Yeah, I know it's on because I bring it up to our guys, and I mentioned it to Glenn again like 2 weeks ago. So
sorry,
that's,
thanks.
Maybe just check with them tomorrow.
So we're good, Glenn?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. We'll move on to Parks, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we have three separate resolutions to go over this evening. First one before you is a resolution authorizing the parks to apply for grant funding through the DNR. So I think most of this committee was aware that any time that you apply for any grant through the state DNR department, before we even apply, they want approval through a resolution to even request application, not even to receive the money, but just to apply. So one in front of you is for Pike River Phase 2. We're really gearing up and doing a full court press on all Pike River grants and grant-related activity for Phase 2 within Petrifying Springs Park. So this one is through the state. The total amount we are requesting is $50,000. There is a 25% match, which equals $12,500 that we already have within our budget at this time. So before you, this is just asking permission to apply for this grant.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions, discussion? Move the governance.
Aye.
Excellent. Moving on to the next resolution. This one's to authorize for the appropriation of park development funds for Park Division capital projects. As I said, we are moving forward with Pike River Phase 2 related activities, so this is a perfect time to put forth in front of you this resolution. Back in 2019 budget, there was approval to move and accept the $1.3 million in utilities from ATC. So that is within our county budget, but we need approval through the county board to actually appropriate that 1.3. Now, some of that has been appropriated in the 2020 budget, and it's listed within this resolution for Pike River related activities. That's a total of $340,000 that was approved within the 2020 budget, which leaves approximately $961,000 to be approved through the committees and the full board. With this resolution, again, related to the Pike River Phase 2, we're going to be really pushing for those grants. And the best way we can get these grants, especially through the federal government, is to have somewhat of match grants available. There's our Phase 2 is estimated at $1.6 million as of right now. And with that, I think we're going to be the most competitive by having that matching grant of $500,000. So just as we do with all of our grants, our capital projects for that matter of fact, our majority of them do have grant-related funding, and this would help offset some of that bonded debt because of this ATC money. So going through that, that's a bulk of this, and just like we do with any of our other park improvements that I've been giving reports to, anytime that we have opportunities with grants, this ATC money would be able to be utilized for those opportunities in the future. So we're asking for approval to utilize that funding and put in the parkland development.
I do. On this resolution, it says that whereas additional Parks Division capital projects being embedded include but not limited to pets restoration project. That, is that including, is that this money here, or are you just talking about other capital?
It's kind of listed in there as far as the $500,000, but in order to get to the full $900,000, there's other opportunities that might come up, and we're just
so you can put this, you can put the remaining monies other than Petrifying Springs Phase 2 project.
Yes.
Right? It says here you can put it in pedestrian bridge installation, playground equipment purchases and construction improvements or additions to the countywide multi-use trail system and other new park features. So it can be used anywhere. Except
correct.
The, I think the $500,000 is what you're looking at?
Yes, and that's more specifically for Pike River.
So the $461,000 plus could be used anywhere else then?
Correct.
In parks,
right. No, in parks.
That was part of the whole interaction with ATC just like with our landfill, the money had to go to parks, and that's how this works.
Right. And then the what I don't see, and I guess maybe because you didn't have to mention them all, would be the KD Park transferring over to the Veterans Park. This money can be used there too?
Any park.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Motion to approve. Second.
So is this was this $1.3 million accounted for, and was there additional budgeted or asked for in bonding?
No, there's no bonded. This is all revenue.
No, I know this, but there was specific parks projects in the bonding that was requested for the 2020 budget. So is this in addition to it? Do we know this 1.3 was coming in?
Additional revenue that wasn't in the budget? Is that what you're
asking? Yeah, that's what it is.
These projects were unknown to us at that time, so that's why we're bringing this resolution to you at this time, separate than the 2020 budget. Because the reason why we're putting this through right now is because these grant opportunities are upon us. Ours, we wouldn't have known at that time to utilize, especially the $500,000 of matching during the normal 2020 budget process. If that answers your question.
Okay, and that's fine. But the $1.3 million revenue, we knew it was coming from ATC, correct?
Yeah, we had that in hand.
And was that already part of your parks budget?
No.
So $1.3 million could be used on roads as an example?
No.
No.
Yeah, see the...
Go ahead. We used, out of the 1.3, in part of the 2020 budget, there was two projects where we used some of this money, and the budget was take for the... there was no bonding. Take the money out of parkland development and then spend it on two different Pike River projects. So we used, one of them was 260 and the other was 80. I think that was 340,000. And we attached in your packet here a page from the Wisconsin State Statute, and there's a paragraph in there. The only place this money can be used is parks projects. So you can't use it for highway projects. You can't use it to buildings. We can only use it for that.
Okay. So what we knew because of the negotiation with ATC that this money was coming to us. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Was that factored into then the overall parks budget for 2020?
Only as far as used for the two projects for the 360,000.
So yes. Balance being then roughly $1 million, give or take, you know, $10. That million we just thought would be in limbo until we figure out what we want to use them.
Right. And after the budget, this opportunity came up to the Parks Department to do 500,000. Or to get this grant. And in order to get this grant, the county would have to toss in about a third of it, which is about 500,000. So we would take our portion of 500,000 from that remaining 900 some thousand, mm-hmm. and then there's still a chunk that's left over.
That chunk, is it, that has not been spoken for within this resolution per se?
This resolution allows the executive or his designee, if something else comes along, to apply for a grant or use that money for another project.
Yet in parks.
In parks.
Strictly within parks.
Yeah.
But it can be used on anything in the parks right now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be a brand new project for this $406,000 to be used. It can be used on anything that the parks have going on now, right?
Capital.
Mm-hmm. Capital, right. Okay.
But we... And is there still a possibility that then we can reduce some of the, why well, nobody authorized the bonding per the projects that were there? I'm just saying there's $400,000 to $500,000 here that could be applied that we don't have to go out and take, we don't have to take long-term debt on for.
And that's exactly the reason why we're doing this through this, so we don't have to go out
so
for additional bonding.
So will this remain under parks, the Parks Department of Control? Is that where it remains until the applicable project, and when that applicable project or projects comes along, you bring those resolutions before us or not?
It's always as part of our report.
We've had a parkland development fund for years, and actually sometimes it was a big chunk of money, and now it's been enough because we've had to use waste management used to give us $250,000 a year, now it's down to about $75,000. And other things that had built that up, and there was a time many years ago where it was totally wrong. That was my term. To use on some highway work, I think it was. But, so this would have been actually money in that fund, or that's what it will be for Parkland Development. And what Matt was explaining is this is keeping us from having to take long-term debt instead of bonding for this new project that came up on the Pike River.
But correct me if I'm wrong, there's always been a restoration plan for many years. This isn't new.
No, but the grant opportunities are new.
Grant opportunity, I get. And I know there's that matching. That's fine. But let's not call it a new project because it's been been talked about for a long time. And this is all within the boundaries of Petrified Springs, not the acquired land,
no,
or co-joined land, whatever the hell you want to call it, with the park side.
This is adjacent to the finish of Phase 1, so directly in Petrified Springs Park.
Within the original boundaries.
Smack dab right in the middle of the park.
How many phases are we going? Is there only two phases?
There's three phases within PETS, and then we're looking at an additional three working with the state for 4, 5, and 6 on UW Parkside property. But that's pretty far in the future.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Because these grants are very competitive, and that's why we have to throw money in the ring, or else we would never stand a chance. But
so specifically right now, that's what you're looking at is the shoreline restoration.
That's our primary.
Phase 2, because I remember reading or seeing something such as playground equipment and multi-use paths and things of that nature. But that's not necessarily part of what you're asking for right now with this.
The primary of this resolution is for the Pike River Phase 2 and the $500,000. The additional funds would be put into parkland development to offset potential other future grants that may come this year or in future years.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we had a motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Motion
yes,
second. Okay. Any other questions? You, the government?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks. And the most contentious of resolutions for the evening.
Motion to approve.
Not those damn birds.
It is those damn birds, but I must say that I got this on every other year's cycle, so I don't know how many county board members or committee members know this, but we're part of Bird City, and as part of the annual application that we have to fill out, we have to approve on the committee and board level for an International Migratory Bird Day. So that's part of our grant application.
I have 9 feeders in my yard.
Hey, there we go.
Well, and I know this is well attended.
For Pringle Nature Center, yes it is. It's one of their biggest events of the year.
Sounds pretty controversial. I don't know.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Move and second to approve. All those in favor, give the other.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Thank you.
Well, why do they call it Bird City?
It could be a bird county, that's what we have.
That's why I was having trouble with this.
Yeah.
Bird City, because it confuses me. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's enjoined that it's the city and the county that get this together. Yeah. We work in tandem. But we do all the work. So as far as the status report, we'll make it quick and simple. Fox River Park, if you remember, We Energies Foundation, as well as Paul Schwartz Nursery, both put in a donation to help us with our reforestation at Fox River Park. 32 trees were planted just because, as Clement said, we've been lucky with some projects with no frost in the ground. So we're able to plant some trees, and we're continuing actually to plant trees even today. Pike River Trails Rehabilitation. This project was rebid. If you remember, the first one was rejected due to some administrative shortfalls with the bidder. There was that only one rebid, so we're hoping it's going to be more competitive for the Trails Rehabilitation project, and that bid is due on February 13th. Pringle Nature Center, as always, you can read those attached reports at your leisure. Kemper Center Shoreline Revetment Project, just keeping the committee up to speed that design work is substantially completed with those additional modifications to the shoreline, including the stormwater outfalls, and now we are working on permitting for that one, so that should be a fun one as we go through that process.
So can any of that $400,000 or $500,000 be applied to this?
As far as the Shoreline Revetment Project?
Yeah, it is part of it.
Capital? Yeah.
Okay.
We're a little bit far off from putting together that project as far as it's going to be a big one, more than $400,000.
Oh,
it's going to be $7 million, let's just say. Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, which was known as KD Park. Just a couple updates with that one. We had our pre-bid meeting today for the restroom facility, so the design work is completed for that one, and we are expecting bids back on the 23rd of this month for that project. And then a pretty cool Eagle Scout project, Wyatt, he was under the crunch. If you don't know Eagle Scout projects, once you turn 18, you're not eligible to become an Eagle Scout anymore. Well, he was 17 and 3/4 in 10 days. So he really wanted to get his Eagle Scout project complete, but he really lucked out with the weather. But he did a really good project down at Katy Park, where our Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, where our new parking lot is adjacent to the dam, and was able to put in steps and stairs going down to the lake's edge for increased fishing access and accessibility. So he nailed it. He finished it and had a couple handy contractors to help him along the way. So kudos to him. So take a drive over there if you get a chance. A few upcoming events. So people don't really care if they're out there running in winter or biking in winter. We still have some special events going throughout the winter season. So anything to get our parks active year-round is great. And that is all I have for my report.
What is Inschneifelsen?
I'm snow in German. Is that what it is? So I think it means you're running in the snow.
Okay.
I'm Schneifelsen. Freezing.
Yeah, yeah. A little rusty, so.
Yeah, I'm not that's up on my German. Yeah, so they just run out in the snow for fun.
Yeah, they hope to see an influx in people coming out to Pringle. I sent a communication out to my district, letting them know that there's a lot of winter activities going on out there for the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe they'll see some people come out.
And I don't know if you mentioned, if we do get snow, which, you
the
know.
Snowshoes,
yeah,
I mentioned.
Yeah, snowshoes, good.
The rentals
good.
And everything.
Excellent. Thank you.
The snowshoes are like new. They used to bring them out to our fishing group. They never were able to do them then.
Well, 1 out of 5 years we got the derby, so we could get on the ice.
Yeah. There isn't going to be no derby this year.
No, I think we pulled out of that business.
Well, I think everybody's going to have to.
My husband has canceled his snowmobile trip.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Okay, thank you, Ray.
Just got a few things to touch on. We've talked about the weather and how December was pretty darn nice by most measures. And the unfortunate thing, we were not able to get a start on the simulcast of the tower out in Silver Lake. Not because of the weather, but because of, I think I mentioned that the project manager from Baycom Motorola had some personal family situations that came up, and he wasn't able to handle his project manager roles, so we put it off. That said, we got pretty much everything engineered and the engineering refined on exactly how that tower is going to look. So we're good to go now. In fact, we've got a meeting this Thursday. We may still look at starting it in January, depending on how things look weather-wise. One of the other things, I don't know if any of you have heard this, but I wanted to bring it up because I got a phone call from one of the city aldermen that there were rumors of a road salt shortage. And this was early in December, before we knew we were going to have a mild December. We took, Clement and his staff looked into it. We're in good shape. We're in really good shape as far as our salt, especially in light of the month of December that we've had. But that can change, because last year we were in really good shape at this time, too. And then January and February, there wasn't, between the snow and more so the ice, we chewed through a ton of salt and there were problems. We actually up-ordered from where we were last year so that we've got more buffer built into ours. And from the phone calls that were made to our folks up in Milwaukee at the salt companies that store it up on the docks, there's no talk of any kind of salt shortage this year like there was last year. So hopefully that will be the case, and hopefully we won't need to even use much of it. So beyond the tower out at Silver Lake, the good news is that we did close on the last piece of property, the fourth house that we needed downtown, where we're going to put up the tower next to the fleet maintenance building. We closed on that on the 16th. We're working with the folks. They may be out as soon as the end of the month. So I already put together demolition plans for all four of those properties and an ad alternate to take the daycare down as well, so we could have the whole block pretty well cleared off of at least all the properties that we own. And the goal would be to get that on the street, the bid for the demo to be on the street before the end of the month. We're also going to just start now working on a strategic plan for the Civic Campus, kind of the downtown campus. That includes the courthouse, administration building, Molinaro, pretrial, public safety building, and now fleet maintenance, kind of that whole area to start to lay out, now that we've got a decent amount of property in that area, start to develop at least a concept plan for what that might look like going forward the next 10 to 15 to 20 years, what would make sense to consider so that when something does come up, we've already got at least something in our hand that people have are familiar with. We're going to do that for the Civic Center. We're also going to do it for the Job Center. If folks remember in the budget this year, we put in some money just to deal with the water infiltration that's taking place in the Job Center, but we also had a complete assessment done of that buildings and the campus. And there's a significant investment estimated to take somewhere between $10 and $12 million in that building over the next, if we stay in the building, over the next, say, 5 to 10 years. And so we figured it warranted looking at what really does make the most sense. Does it make sense to really stay in that campus, or does it make sense to consider something else? So we're going to be doing some planning on those two things the first half of the year, and then bring something to the board, hopefully like during the budget process is when we'll bring those planning concepts to the board so everybody's familiar with what may make sense to consider going forward for those two campuses. That's something we're hopefully going to be getting a consultant on board. We've been going through a selection process the past 6-8 weeks, and so we'll hope to have them on board in the next few weeks. That's pretty much it.
Questions for Ray? If not, a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Moving second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.